We read the Word of God this morning in Ezekiel chapter 33. The text that we will consider is the first six verses of this chapter. So pay attention to those verses. I won't reread them. We will read the first 20 verses, Ezekiel chapter 33. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth, and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to and warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, The righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live if he trust to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousness shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. Yet the children of thy people say, The way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. Yet ye say, The way of the Lord is not equal. O ye house of Israel, I will judge you everyone after his ways. Thus far we read the word of God this morning. May God bless the reading of his word. I call your attention to those first six verses of this 33rd chapter of the prophecy of Ezekiel this morning. And I begin by asking you if you have heard the advertisements for home security systems. You're aware of the fact that there are many businesses and many homes that have installed cameras and sensors, and some businesses and even some homes will hire live security guards. For what purpose? For the purpose of protection. For the purpose of protecting the valuables of the home. For the purpose of protecting the valuable merchandise of the business. For the purpose of protecting the lives of the people who may be in the business or in the home when there may be an invasion or an attack. If there is a security system and the alarm is triggered, hopefully that will make the criminal flee. And if that doesn't happen, hopefully it will give the people in the building time to prepare themselves so that they're not caught by surprise. Well, now, there's a picture here in these first six verses that God goes on to explain in the rest of the verses that we read, in which we have to understand things this way. God is the protector of Judah. God is the protector of his house, which is the church. How many of the Psalms don't tell us? He is our refuge and our strength. The arm of the Lord is the powerful arm that protects and preserves the church. But now he gives that church, this is what he's explaining to Ezekiel, the prophet, to the people of Judah, to the church. He gives that protection through watchmen that he has appointed to care for the spiritual needs of the church. There's a picture, we'll consider that this morning, of a watchman. But the interesting thing is that we're talking about not a physical security system, but a spiritual security system. And we know that by the appointment, not of a soldier, but of a prophet. God appoints a prophet, a spiritual office bearer, to be a spiritual watchman of the people of Judah. Well, today, we consider the spiritual security system of this faith, Protestant Reformed congregation. God, not man, God is our security. God, in providing the security of this congregation, has installed two more deacons, three more elders, and that means now six deacons total, nine elders total, and one minister. God has installed them into office in this congregation as the security system of this church. He uses these watchmen not to protect your valuables or even your earthly lives, but your souls. Consider that this morning, and consider the exhortation once again that came to us in the form, how we ought to highly value the work of these men. Honor them, pray for them, respect them highly for their work's sake. Now this appointment by God, and we see that at the end of the text in verse 6 and then in the two verses following also, we see that this appointment by God to be a watchman comes with a heavy responsibility. The watchman must be faithful. In the case of a security system failure in a business or in a home, it may be determined that the designer, the manufacturer, the installer made a mistake. And he may be dragged, whoever is found responsible, before an earthly judge, fined, imprisoned, punished for his failure. Things are much more serious when it comes to these spiritual watchmen. They are required to be faithful by God and held accountable to Him. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. But beloved, I want you to notice this morning especially that God is addressing the congregation of his people who are under the watchman's care. Notice verse 2. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them. It's possible that one is in a building, alarm goes off, and that alarm has no meaning. I don't know what the danger is. I don't know what the seriousness of this alarm is. I don't know how to respond to this alarm. The people of Judah could not excuse themselves that way, and this morning you people of God cannot excuse yourselves that way either. God puts you on notice. He says, I've installed a security system for your spiritual welfare. And there's much more to what these watchmen must do than merely give a warning. But in the passage this morning, God says, I want you to know about the warning system, the alarm that they will sound. And if you don't respond, the blood will be upon your head. And so God makes sure we know. And He makes sure that we not only know about the alarm, the warning system, but He puts us on notice and says, take heed to my watchmen. Let's consider this morning then for a little while the warning of the watchmen. And we're going to notice that this is a serious warning. Secondly, the twofold effect of the warning, and then thirdly, the urgent calling. We notice that the text is speaking in picture language, and what we need to do is picture this morning the city of Jerusalem. Can you do that, children? Picture a city that is surrounded by walls, walls that are 20 to 30 feet high, and then at intervals on these walls are towers. Towers that reach up to the sky as high as 100 feet. And the people of Israel have wisely selected watchmen to stand in those towers to be alert, to be on the lookout for the sword of the enemy coming with physical weapons, so that that watchman can blow the trumpet, warn the people of the coming of the enemy. And we can clearly see that an unfaithful watchman would be a disaster for the city of Jerusalem. If the watchman is a lazy man, if he is negligent in his work as a watchman and he doesn't see the enemy coming, or if the watchman is an unfaithful man in the sense that he joins the enemy and he betrays the people of the city, the result will be the same. The enemy will come in by surprise, and the streets of the city of Jerusalem will flow with the blood of the people of God. But if the watchman is faithful, and that means not only that he stays awake, but a faithful watchman is a watchman who loves God, and he loves the city of God, and he loves the people of God. He loves them, and love for them, he stays alert. He blows the trumpet, warns when the enemy is coming to save the citizens of God's city. Now all of that applies to office bearers in our congregation, especially the pastor and the elders. First of all, of course, it applies to Ezekiel the prophet. He is a watchman in Old Testament Israel, and this applies to the other elders who serve with the prophet as the spiritual watchman over the people of Israel, but this applies also to the office bearers, minister, elder, elders and deacons in our congregation. First of all, in the reality now, not the picture of a watchman over a city, in the reality, we need to understand these are men who are divinely appointed by God to be watchmen of his people. That's implied in the text, of course, when God says here are the duties of the watchman, and God at the end of the text is speaking about the reality that the watchman is going to be held responsible for him, and not just for how he watches the city physically, but God is saying, I'm going to hold him responsible for how he watches over the people spiritually. And so he's saying to the watchman, you don't serve according to your own will or whim, you serve according to my call. I call you, and I tell you how to serve in this office as a watchman. But that becomes very explicit in verse 7, which, if you compare it to chapter 3, verse 17, you will find that almost the exact same words are used. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. That's God's word to you men, to you elders, to the deacons. That's God's word that he speaks in the hearing of the people of Israel. I have set these men, I have divinely appointed these men to be watchmen in the house, God's house, his church. That means God is pleased to speak to you through these men. God is pleased to instruct you through these men. He's pleased to admonish you through these men. He's pleased to care for you. He's pleased to investigate you, to inspect you, to guide and to protect you through these office bearers. Now, if there's any doubt about the fact that what Ezekiel is speaking of here applies especially now to the elders of this congregation, then I point you to Acts chapter 20, where in verse 28, the Apostle Paul uses the term overseer to refer to the elders of Ephesus. And even though the King James doesn't often translate the word overseer, it more often translates the word bishop, that's the fundamental meaning of the word, an overseer, and you can see how that's connected to the concept of a watchman. These are men in the New Testament church, elders, who are appointed to see over, to have oversight, to watch, to rule, to inspect, to investigate, to admonish, to instruct, to feed, to guide, to care for the congregation of God. And because these men have been appointed by God, this is the point. God is saying to the congregation, I watch over you through these men. Now the emphasis in the text is not to cover all those different aspects of the watchman's duty, but the emphasis in the text is on the duty he has to guard against spiritual threats against the people of God. The watchman, very obviously then, as he's standing on the wall, must be looking out and looking for threats or attacks that threaten to come into the church, to bring the inroads of sin and evil among the people of God. Obviously, this means now spiritually, the watchman must be on guard against the devil, must understand and must take very seriously the fact that the devil, though he's invisible, is a clear and present danger to the lives of the members of this congregation. The watchman must be on guard against the world. He must understand that the unbelief of the world is opposed to and different from, radically different from, the faith and the life that the people of God must live as members of the congregation. The watchman must know the kinds of worldly thoughts and behaviors that present a powerful temptation to the members of the congregation. The older sheep, yes. What will they be tempted by? The middle-aged sheep, the adolescent sheep, the little lambs. And then he must be aware also of all of the instruments that the evil one in the world will use to make sin look appealing, so that he can sound the alarm. That he can say from the pulpit or as an elder as he goes from house to house, be aware of the danger of that television. Be aware of the danger of that computer. Be aware of the danger of your smart devices. Be aware of the danger of the radio that you have in your car, in your room, young people. Be aware of how the devil is going to try to lead you to be overtaken by sin. Be aware of the world's advertising and how by clever advertising, sound the alarm, tell the congregation that. By that advertising, they seek to lead you into sin. But now, this might not be very apparent in the picture as you picture of a watchman looking out, seeing far into the distance. Really, the stress here, the emphasis here is on the watchman looking in and watching the people of God. Verse 6 speaks of the importance of that here in the text. The watchmen see the sword come. He's looking out. And blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come. And now here it is. And take any person from among them. He has taken away in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. And then throughout the rest of what we read in the chapter, the watchman is especially concerned about the spiritual lives of the people in God's house, in the church. The watchman must not be so naive. And sometimes, sadly, there are naive watchmen in the church who do think sin is out there. It's not really a threat to the members of the church in here. And the watchmen neither must they be so proud as to think, like the people of Judah often thought, we are the children of Abraham, we are the people of God, sin and judgment can't come upon us. The watchmen, the elders, the ministers, the deacons, and then also the members of the church must not be unwilling to see sin in the congregation. That's a failure to see that the threat is right here. I carry it, you carry it within yourselves. That old man of sin. The threat is there. There is the possibility, just as we see the reality of it in Judah. Not just the possibility that the people of Judah could fall into idolatry and immorality, but they did, and impenitently. There's the possibility that we too could fall impenitently, be overtaken by sin. And so this is what the watchmen are to look out for. Sin. Looking in the congregation, inspecting the lives of the members to see if there is impenitent sin. Now that needs some explanation this morning. This does not mean that the elders are appointed by God to be busybodies digging into every aspect of the members of the lives of the members of the congregation, looking for every sin that they can uncover. Nor is it the calling of the office bearers to warn the people, if you do not stop sinning altogether, God is going to judge you. The idea is not that in the church, God expects there to be perfection. Nor is it proper for the office bearers to think now this position of a watchman means that I am like a hammer. I am here to come after the people of God when I see their weaknesses and their failings. No, the office bearer is called to be humble and patient and to exercise faith as he looks at the members of the congregation and not become bitter, hardened in his attitude, negative in his attitude as he looks at the congregation and sees that there is much sin. Certainly we can say that about Judah. Ezekiel could say that as he looked at the people of Judah. This is a congregation of sinful people. The office bearer in Faith Church has that experience as well. But he must exercise faith. Faith that says, though I see much sin in these people, I believe the word of the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, that this is the blood-bought congregation of Jesus Christ. These are Christ's sheep. He loves them. God has chosen them. And though they are sinners by nature, I must love them as saints. Here, we should take note of the history here. In Ezekiel chapter 2, when Ezekiel is called by God to be a watchman, he's called to be a prophet. God realistically describes the people among whom he must labor, describing them as rebellious, impudent, stiff-hearted. And yet God would not have tolerated it if Ezekiel said, knowing that these people are these things, my attitude is going to be tyrannical and harsh and judgmental. In fact, even though it's true that these people were these things, rebellious, stiff-hearted, and all the rest, the attitude of the prophet must be, these are the precious people of God. Now I'm thinking of Moses. God, not approving of Moses, calling the congregation of Israel rebels. Even though as you looked at their behavior, you would have concluded Moses was right. These are rebellious, hard-hearted, stiff-hearted people. Yet God called Moses to look at them as his people, precious, beloved saints. We have the example of that, you know, in our Lord Jesus Christ. What was his attitude towards constantly falling and sinning Peter and the other apostles? And then we also have a positive example in the case of the Apostle Paul. Just think about the case of the Corinthian congregation to whom he had to write that scathing first letter to the Corinthians, pointing out to them their awful sin of tolerating incest, pointing out to them their awful sin of having factions infighting in the church of Jesus Christ, bringing shame to the name of God in the way that they lived among themselves. And yet, his attitude was, these are the saints of Jesus Christ. But it is necessary for a watchman to be very serious, to be very sharp, to be very bold, to be very firm and clear in issuing a warning in certain circumstances in the church. We can summarize it this way. If there is a member of the church who has not been hearing the warning against sin, who has been overtaken by sin, and is walking impenitently in that sin, the office bearers must sound the alarm to that person. Your soul is at peril. You will perish if you don't repent. And that's the word of God. That's the word of God through the watchman. God comes to the people of Judah. We didn't read that, but he comes as a prosecutor through the prophet, legally laying the charges before the people of Israel for their idolatry and their wickedness of life. And he says to them, this sword's going to come, and the sword is Babylon, but this sword is coming at my hand and my judgment upon you, and the death of the thousands of people of Judah for their sin is a picture of God's judgment of everlasting death that falls on those who remain impenitent in their sin. The watchmen raise the alarm. They're called by God. You watch. You watch. You look into the lives of the members of this congregation. Visit them on family visitation. Visit them on other occasions. Watch over them on the Sabbath day. Watch over the rest of their lives too. And if it ever comes to your attention that there's somebody in this congregation is overtaken in sin, sound the alarm that their soul is in danger if they do not repent. And then there will be one of two responses. Verses 4 and 5 explain one possibility, that there are people who hear the alarm but refuse to heed it. Now, there may be many explanations for this. The office bearers experience this. Some people are simply blinded by their sin because they love their sin. They don't want to acknowledge there's anything wrong. Some people are blinded by pride. That was characteristic of the Jews in Judah. I can't possibly have God's judgment fall upon me. I can't possibly be that bad. Some people know their sin, are aware of their guilt, but they have walked in it so long that their consciences are seared. The office bearers experience that sometimes. They sit across someone and say, "You're sinning," and the attitude is, "Yes, I'm sinning, but I'm not sure that I really care about that. I don't see it as all that serious." And there's a warning there too, about thinking that sin can be played with for a time, because the longer that one walks in sin, the more their conscience may be seared. Others know their sin, but are so consumed by guilt that they become hopeless of ever being forgiven and don't see a point in repenting. That was a very real threat to the people of Judah, and may even be the experience of office bearers in their work in the congregation too today. The judgment of God had fallen on Jerusalem. The people who thought beforehand, "We are Abraham's seed. God could never judge us." After the judgment fell, thought, "God has abandoned us. He hates us." And those people needed, and that's a reminder too, to the office bearers here, not only to hear the warning, but also the gospel. They needed to hear, yes, God's wrath falls on those who do not repent and believe, but they needed to hear the good news, the promise of the gospel. Everyone who believes receives forgiveness and salvation. But the important thing that the text is pointing out is that if people hear the alarm and do not repent, they perish. And their condemnation is made the heavier because they did not heed the alarm. But the end of verse 5 explains another response. This is what the elders work for. They sound the alarm. What you're doing is contrary to the word of God. No, we're not bringing you our own judgment. We're not bringing you our own word. We're bringing you the word of God. What you believe, or what you have been rejecting, you need to repent. What you've been doing, how you've been living. And no, it doesn't matter that you've been coming to church on Sunday. If this is what you continue to do, you continue to walk in this sin that is contrary to the word of God, we have to warn you. Perish. And then that word of God does its work. There's repentance. And not just a sorrow for sin, a brokenheartedness that says, "I'm guilty," but also a turning from that sin, serving God. Verses 15 and 16 explain this. There's a new life. And the word of God says that man delivers his soul, that man has forgiveness, he has salvation and eternal life. And now what are we going to say about this effect? It's worked by the watchman? No. It's God who determines whether the sinner will heed the warning and repent, or not heed the warning and remain impenitent. The text makes plain. The watchman, he sounds the alarm. But he doesn't know how the people in the city are going to respond to the alarm. And God says that very plainly to him. There are going to be some people who won't respond. They won't heed the alarm. There are other people who are going to heed the alarm. And the watchman doesn't know. God lets us know here. He lets the elders and deacons know here. The only thing that I require of you is that you be faithful in sounding the alarm. And sometimes that alarm, which is an alarm that is brought by bringing the word of God, is going to harden. Sometimes that alarm is going to soften. The watchman doesn't know. He labors in love. He labors in prayer. He labors in humility before God. He labors faithfully. He doesn't know. God is the one who determines what the outcome is. But now, what God is assuring us here in this text and in the chapter is His security system works. There is this twofold effect that is true, but the emphasis is on this, on God's salvation of Judah, on His salvation of the elect. God doesn't delight in their death. He delights in their salvation and their repentance. God wants them to be delivered from their sin and their guilt. Now, He's saying, not one of my elect can be destroyed by the devil, by the world, or by their own sinful nature, because I will deliver them. Now, He does sometimes allow His elect to walk impenitently in sin, but He will not allow them to perish without repentance. He loves His elect. It's about them that He's speaking when He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But my pleasure is your salvation. My pleasure is your deliverance from sin and death. My pleasure is to show grace. Now, by promise, God was saying that to the people in the coming of Jesus Christ. To you and me, He says that. Why did God send Jesus Christ? Why did He die on the cross? Because God says, I don't have pleasure that you should perish for your sins. He gives Jesus Christ to deliver us from our sins, to give us the right to eternal life. But now, that life is not for those who think they have no sin, for those who will not acknowledge their sin and repent and express their need for a Savior. And here is the truth about you and me. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins, but we still would never repent and turn to Him as our Savior. We are so stubborn, so hard-hearted in our sin that we would never acknowledge, yes, we are the sinners who need that salvation. And so, God must use means. He must use the word of warning and the word of the gospel applied to our hearts by the Spirit. And that's what He's doing this morning through the preaching of the word, through the weekly ministry of the word, through the preaching of the minister of the gospel. God is sending forth His Spirit in the power that we need to turn our hearts from sin, to turn us to Jesus Christ for salvation. And then sometimes, here's where the elders come in. They not only oversee the preaching, but sometimes there are members of the congregation who may not respond to the ordinary means of the preaching of the word. They become hardened in their sin. So the elders have to go to them, bringing the warning of the word to them individually. And through those watchmen, here's the point. God is working to save and protect His people. Yes, He hardens the reprobate, but He also sends forth that warning, that word, to save His elect. That's the point that God is making here in the text. When the minister in the pulpit sounds a warning exposing sin, and when he is pointed and even points out the particular sins of the congregation, or when the elders go to members of this congregation, as they have to do from time to time, to be very pointed, to point out to them specifically where they are sinning against God, that is not hatred. That is God in love seeking out one of his sheep for salvation. And so what's our calling this morning? Your and my calling. Let's read Ezekiel 33 this way. The main calling here is to the congregation, not now to the watchmen. What is God saying to Judah? He's saying to Judah, I don't want you to be worldly. I don't want you to be like Babylon. I don't want you to think like them. I don't want you to worship like them. I don't want you to live like them. I want you to live the antithesis. Be different. Don't be in the world outside of the walls. Be in the walls in the church. And now the separation, the difference isn't physical, but spiritual. Be godly. In your confession, in your walk, this is the purpose of Judah. This is the purpose of the Church of Jesus Christ here, Faith Church, to glorify and praise our God. Now, because we are spiritually weak and in need of God's preserving power and grace, He has installed our spiritual security system. And our calling, when we think about these watchmen, these three things. First of all, let's be thankful for the security system that God has installed here in Faith Congregation. Imagine a home without a smoke detector. A fire is started. No alarm is sounded. And all in the home perish without any notice. Think of what would happen if God left us exposed to the devil, to the world, to our sinful natures, without the watchman to preach the gospel to us, without the watchman of the elders to sound the alarm of God's word for us. And beloved, I'm thankful that having observed the work of the office bearers of this church, the way that they love the congregation, that they love God and use God's word, that I can say to you that there will not be a failure of the warning system in this congregation. That may happen. It may be that everyone in the house perishes because the smoke detectors don't work. But you may be assured that God has installed elders here who will be faithful in bringing you the Word of God for the salvation of your souls and of your children's souls. So let us be thankful for these men. Pray for them and honor them. And then secondly, let's give heed to their words that they bring in the name of God. Let us pray that God will never make it so that you or I need the watchmen to come to us to warn us because we've fallen into sin. But if they do, receive them, listen to them, and repent. Don't be, it's a terrible thing, but it happens. Don't be the person who avoids their phone calls. Don't be the person who hangs up on them. Don't be the person who, when they show up at the front door, you're leaving out the back door. When the elders sound the alarm, don't you understand? It's not your personal property or even your life, but your soul that God is caring for. And then thirdly, let's hear the word of God now. Then may God make it that we don't need the elders to come to us. Whose sin is God exposing? Who is God calling to repentance? Let our answer be me. I need salvation. I need to confess my sin. God, forgive me for Jesus' sake. And then let us hear God say, you who repent, you have life. You live. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the men whom thou hast appointed for our spiritual good to represent thee as elders, minister, deacons. May we as a congregation hear our calling to live in all godliness to the praise and the glory of thy name, and to be built up through thy word as it is preached and as it is brought to us in many means, many ways, by the office bearers whom thou hast appointed in our midst. And may we continue to enjoy, under their faithful leadership, the life and the blessing of salvation through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.